big ones, Christmas and Easter. I think every pastor is going to preach about the birth of Christ at Christmas and the death and resurrection of Christ at Easter. I'm talking about all those other holidays that show up on the calendar, you know, from New Year's Day all the way to Thanksgiving. Do you preach them? Do you ignore them? Do you do something special for them? There's a lot of question about that. We had a clergy luncheon a few months ago, and we actually discussed, so what do you do with holidays? Because, you know, say Mother's Day, all right? If I preach a Mother's Day message, at least half of y'all, it's not going to apply to. I mean, I was greeting folks. I said, Happy Mother's, Happy Dad. Hi. They're a guy. You know what I'm saying? Not a mother. Ultimately, though, I believe what it comes down to is pastors need to know what is God saying for the message. All of God's word is inspired. It's all useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So I could take a holiday like Labor Day, which has nothing to do necessarily with Scripture, but the Labor Day theme, Labor Day. And one day I preached, one Sunday I preached on that from Hebrews chapter 4. Let us labor to enter into his rest. You could preach on love and Valentine's Day. You can preach about new beginnings and New Year's Day. So there's certainly things you can do. But for me, I've got to know, what does God have here? And here's why. There are Sundays that God gives a message that's just a good, solid word. It's his inspired word. You preach it. But then there's other times that God has a specific word for a specific time for a specific group of people. And I believe that's the case for this Sunday. Now, the message may not affect all of you directly, but take the notes anyhow, because you may be able to help somebody for whom this will apply. This message is specifically for moms who are sitting here today who are worn out, who are exhausted, who look at their mothering and say, God, I wish I could have a do-over. You look back on your mothering and you see the mistakes that you've made. You see the failures that you've done. You think, boy, I wish I hadn't said that, but had said something else instead at the time. Or I wish I had made a different choice than the one I made. I wish I could have a do-over. You're like this young lady, a friend of mine on Facebook, who said, all I really want for Mother's Day is to not feel guilty for 24 hours. Guilty that I pleaded with my one-year-old teething baby to stop crying already. Guilty that I told my four-year-old boy I was working to avoid lifting his 45-pound body over my head for the third time today to catch the same terrified lizard. Guilty for taking too long to grocery shop solo. Guilty for taking a shower. Guilty for doing basically anything because someone might need me. Guilty my boys live off dinosaur chicken nuggets because they're too picky for their own good. Guilty for cleaning the house instead of playing with my kids. Guilty for playing with my kids instead of cleaning the house. Y'all know momming isn't easy. And somebody put a little extra note comment. The woman you are describing is me. And more importantly, almost every other mother I know at some point on their motherhood journey. This morning's message is for moms that want a do-over. So that brings me to the notes on the back. As I was praying at the fairgrounds this Wednesday, I was asking the Lord what he would have me do. I knew they were going to do a human video. And I knew I wasn't going to do a drama for Mother's Day because I just performed with Thomas a few weeks ago. I knew I wasn't going to invite a guest speaker because I've been out of the pulpit for 2 weeks with Pastor Sid preaching the last Sunday of April as part of her internship, which, by the way, thank you to everyone who helped her. She aced it and got an A in the course, so thank you. That's good. And then last weekend, we were away for the marriage retreat along with many couples from our church, so... And I couldn't just bring my mom in like I did a few years ago to play Minnie Pearl. Howdy! And her pearls of wisdom. So I said, Lord, there's got to be something for Sunday. What do you want me to do? And as I was praying at the fairgrounds, thoughts began popping into my head. And I went, whoa, this is different. So here we go. If you want to drop down, take your sheet, drop down, put some notes in here. Number one, There are no perfect moms, except on TV. USA Today, Friday's edition. Friday drove all the way down to Meadville, Pennsylvania. I wouldn't suggest doing it in one day. It was 12 hours on the road. But on the way back, I happened to see this, USA Today. And it says, mothers feel pressured on the pedestal. I'm married. My husband and I are full-time entrepreneurs with two active children, but no grandparents in the immediate area and no siblings to balance it out either. It's been very overwhelming. You open up to the article and there's this quote, I'm finding a lot of perfectionism in young parents right now that comes from some of the ways that they were raised. They feel they have to be perfect parents, and so sometimes they want every little detail spelled out for them. I think there's a lot of fear because of that. One of the reasons moms get burned out is they sometimes have, and often have, unrealistic expectations of what they ought to be able to do. Whether those expectations come from within, whether they come from their growing up as children, whether they come from their peers or from social media or from entertainment, television, there just are no perfect moms. But somehow moms get fed this idea that I can be a full-time mom, a full-time worker, a full-time cleaner, a full-time cook, a full-time chauffeur. And by the time you add all the responsibilities, there's just not enough hours in a day or in a week to be able to accomplish all that. And yet there's this elusive goal that mom set, this standard that I've got to hold it all together. I've got to do it with a smile and don't perspire. Now, when we say that, it sounds silly, but moms live that. They feel like they have to measure up. They feel like they've got to reach it. Now, I'm not suggesting that moms should say, okay, I don't have to be perfect. Let me go the other direction and get a PhD in failure. But what I'm saying is if the bar is that high that you feel you have to be a perfect mom, you're never going to reach it. And that kind of pressure that you put on yourself is going to harm you and everybody else around you. There's a passage of scripture in Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all moms and dads and kids have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which means if I were to take a poll here, I'll bet you there's not one mother here that can stand up and say, I have never failed once as a mother. And if you can, then I'm going to talk to your kids. Because they will tell me that you are a deluded mother. Let's face it, moms lose it. Moms will sometimes raise their voice when they get frustrated and then feel awful afterwards. They try to scramble to get a dish done and play with their kid and do everything, and they're feeling like they're torn and pulled in 101 different directions. And if you're a mom like that here today, then God has a word of release for you. God has a word of encouragement for you, a word of compassion, and a word of hope. There are no perfect moms, except on TV. And they're acting. They only have to act for 30 minutes or an hour like a perfect mom. Then they go back to their imperfect lives afterwards. There are no perfect moms. So I would encourage you, instead of that standard that you've set for yourself that's impossible, let's come back to more biblical standard. What we really want is consistent adequacy over the long haul. You're going to have some mistakes. You're going to make some mistakes. But if you're consistently adequate over the long haul, that's going to make a difference for your kids. Sort of like if you bought stock in 1940 in a company, you'd be very rich right now. Even though there's been some dips in the market, overall it's been up. So number two, if there are no perfect moms except on TV, then number two, own your stuff and use it as a teaching tool for your kids. Own your stuff means you stop pretending that you're perfect or that you can be perfect. You're able to admit, I am not a perfect mother. There are awesome mothers out there. There are great mothers out there. They're not so good mothers, but there are no perfect mothers. And so be willing to own your stuff and say, you know what? I'm not a perfect mom. I can't be a perfect mom. I'm owning it. But here's the cool thing. Use it as a teaching tool for your kids. Let your kid know, you know what? I'm not perfect, but let me tell you about God. I admit to you, my kids, and I admit to the Lord that I have failed in this area, but I'm looking to God for grace in this area. I'm looking for the Lord to work in my life to help me grow. Because by doing that, you are teaching your child something valuable. You're teaching them in the home that how to do failure biblically. Because guess what? There are no perfect kids either. And when your kids fail, they need to know how to do failure in a healthy way. If you can't be honest about failure, if you can't be real about failure, they will learn to cover up their failures. They will learn to blame and shame somebody else. But if you can say, you know what? I blew it. I own it. But let me tell you about a God of grace who redeems and transforms lives. Then you teach your kids to trust that same God that I can be real. There are times when Pastor Sid and I do counseling, one of the questions we will ask the person is, how did your family do failure? Was failure allowed in your home? Or were you attacked for failure? I never once remember my dad in all my years as a child ever saying to me, I was wrong about anything. That's a lot of pressure to grow up under that because you think he's perfect. I got to meet that standard. That puts a lot of pressure on yourself. But when you're able to say, I'm not perfect, when you're able to let the chinks in the armor be seen, and you're able not to cover them up or not to excuse them, but to own them, and then say, God, I want you to deal with me. And kids, let's pray together in this area. You teach your kids something valuable. You don't lose their respect for that. You gain it. I saw this firsthand when I was a youth pastor, when I first started out in ministry. Kid's name was Mike Baxter, and I lost it. I lost it. I yelled at him in one of the youth meetings. I was way out of line. I was wrong. When the meeting was over, I went up afterwards to him and I said, hey, look, I need to ask you to forgive me. I was out of order. Well, after I helped him pick his jaw up off the ground and put it back up, because he had never had an adult or a parental figure say they were wrong, you would have thought I was Jesus Christ. That guy would have followed me to the ends of the earth. Because he saw me as somebody that was real, that could own his stuff. I didn't lose his respect, I gained his respect. And so own your stuff, and use as a teaching tool. Number three, leave your failures at the cross and parent forward. Leave your failures at the cross. Some of you are still living with guilt and shame for mistakes you made 30 years ago. And you're trying to parent your kid now to overcome the guilt and shame you feel from 30 years ago. You can't parent in grace when you're parenting in guilt. How many times are you going to try to atone for sin that Jesus Christ alone can atone for? You failed, you blew it, own it, repent of it, and leave it at the cross. Parent forward. That may mean you calling your kid up and you might say, hey, you know what? I blew it. I get it. And I've been trying to make up for that mistake ever since, but I can't do that because that's not healthy for you, for me, or for the kingdom. Would you please forgive me? And whether they choose to or not isn't on you, that's on them. But you make it right as far as is within you, and you parent forward. Which means, Lord, how do I love my kid? How do I do this your way from this point forward? So many people try to atone for what they did wrong, trying to make it right. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, if you sin against your brother, you need to make it right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're trying to atone out of guilt and shame, toxic shame, for what only Jesus Christ can pay. You're not going to help your kid move forward when you parent that way. Own it. And then leave it at the cross. Parent forward. What does it mean to parent forward? Fourth point. Ground your kids in grace and tether them to truth. Ground your kids in grace and tether them to truth. One of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is they know in your home there's absolutely nothing they can do to ever get you to stop loving them. When you raise your kids with that kind of love environment where they know I am loved, it creates a secure bond in that kid. But if you don't, if love is based on, I'll love you if you do this, I'll love you since you do, I'll love you because of this, if love is based on anything other than God's grace through you to them, then you are creating within them a dynamic of insecurity where they will then try to prove that they are lovable, either by their performance or people's approval of them, and you're setting them up for an unhealthy future. Let them know in that home, just like God has accepted you into his home, and that there's neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from the love of God the Father, may that be true for you of your kids, that there is nothing that can separate them from God's love in you to them. That is something they need to know. That's what it means to parent forward, to let them know you love them no matter what. But don't stop there. Ground them in grace, but tether them to truth. Because love doesn't mean there's no truth. Love doesn't mean there's no accountability. Children need loving limits consistently applied. There needs to be the love that they know they're loved, but there also needs to know that within love there's limits. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so one of the problems is if we've got this standard that we can never reach, that we're trying to reach, then our kids end up growing up in that kind of environment, and they look at us, and what they see is they see us not being real. They see us not being honest. And so what we teach them is we really don't want truth. In my home, when my dad would get drunk on a Thursday night or a Friday night, the next morning, no one talked about it. It didn't happen. Never happened. Even after my dad got saved, and I remember talking to him about it, because I never had a drinking problem. It didn't exist, because we didn't talk about it. It didn't exist. It did exist. And if we can operate in truth, if we can lower the mask, if we can be real before God and authentic and transparent before him and before our children, what we're telling them is we value truth here in our home. One of the things that we did growing up is we told the kids, if you sin, there's a penalty. You lie about it, you just double the penalty. Because we want them to know, we'd rather have them tell us the truth and be honest about what's going on, because then we can deal with it. We don't want you covering up, because that lack of integrity is really an issue that carries on into adulthood. We don't want that. We want real. But we want them to be tethered not just to truth as opposed to a lie. We want them tethered to truth, which is the Word of God. We want our kids to grow up in a home where they know this is what God says. This is what God calls us to be through Christ. This is who God is calling us as the church to be. So we want to ground them in grace, and we want to tether them to truth so that as they mature and they grow, they never lose sight. The Bible says, train up your child in the way they should go. And we want our children to grow up solid in faith. Last point. You're like, what? Last point? No way. This is an abbreviated message. I still have one more message for the kids. Short one. But here's the last one. Release your children to be reflections of the Lord rather than extensions of you. When we put a standard that's so high that we can't reach it, what we end up doing is our children become extensions of us, so that if we have to be perfect, you better believe our kids better be perfect too. So if our kids are not perfect, who's at fault? We feel we are. That's why you'll see a parent in a grocery store, the kid acts up, and the parent sometimes will go ballistic on the kid. Why? Because they're disciplining the kid? No, because they feel toxic shame that their kid's acting up, and they think everybody's looking at them and thinking they're a horrible parent, so they want their kid to shut up so that they don't look bad. That's unhealthy parenting. Healthy parenting is being concerned for the kid that they can grow in grace and a knowledge of our Lord. The goal is not for my kid to be an extension of me. And some parents don't know where they stop and their kid begins. Their kid is not other. Their kid is an extension. So you better act right so I look good. I don't want my kids being good because I'm a pastor. I want my kids to honor the Lord because they know Jesus Christ. I want them to reflect Christ. Does this make sense? So some of the pressure, moms, that cause you to be burned out and guilty, whatever, is because you think you have to be perfect and you're not. You have difficulty perhaps owning in a healthy way, trying to atone for the sin. And so you're parenting out of guilt, not parenting forward. And because it's not you trust in grace, you're not parenting in grace. You're not able to be honest. They're extensions of you. No wonder you're pooped out. And that's not even talking about normal parenting. You know, when I see a parent of a preschooler, I said, see you in a few years. Because I know they're going to be just like, well, I sleep again. you know, their eyes are kind of bugged out of their head. Like, will I ever sleep again? They're like into everything. They don't stop moving. Like, they don't even do nap time anymore. At least I had that nap. And you see them. They're like, they look like they're on caffeine. They're like, hey. And then your kids get to be normal age for a while, and then they become adolescents, and you do it all over again. I'm just telling you. I know. Not because I read it in a book. Because I'm the parent of four. I know. But it's worth it. It's worth it to parent healthy. I will tell you that as we've started with our kids way, way, way back with David in 1992, made a lot of mistakes. And then Jonathan came along 4 years later, and we still made some mistakes. Then Ben came along, and we were starting to get a little bit better at it because we had some experience. And then we had a girl. They're not the same as boys. Just saying. Just saying. But I'm thankful that God gave me a girl who happens to be here today. My daughter. I wouldn't trade being a dad for anything. I love it. I love it. But we've made our mistakes too. My wife and I have talked about, boy, you wish we could. We can't go back. You can only go forward. And I'm praying that today for some of you that are burned out, fried, exhausted, that you'll take to heart some of these truths and say, Lord, I want your standard, not mine. I want a parent in grace. And if I blow it, help me to use it as a teaching tool for my kids so that we all grow healthy together. Lord, I pray for the moms here that are just fried. Some of them look with such regret. They look at their kids and they see some of their own stuff showing up in their kids and they're like, ah! But Lord, I thank you for grace. I thank you that today can be a turning point in their life where you do something supernatural to free them inside, to stop comparing themselves to every other mom around them, going on social media and always comparing, but Lord, simply to be the mom you called to be, because God, in your wisdom, they were the ones called to mother their children. You entrusted these children to them for them to steward these kids because you knew through your grace, spirit, and word, they would have what they need to mother them. And so, Lord, we pray that moms will leave here today with their head held high, trusting you and your grace, and able to leave their past in the cross, at the cross, and able to parent forward in a way there's freedom inside. There's joy inside. And I ask this in Jesus' name.